Right now, we all say good morning to Dr. History. And I didn't know it, but you know both these folks.
Oh, yes, for many years, since they were born.
Really?
Their dad and I have been good friends since the first grade.
No kidding. And that's when they still circled the wagons at night?
Dirt had been found.
I see.
Rocks.
I see. Tip your mic up just a little bit there, would you, Ken? Now, with these wonderful folks in the office that are representing Minnecashia Sales, what's on the agenda for Dr. History this morning?
All right. When you think of Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, there was a certain group of men that kind of chased them.
Oh, it was the Pinkertons.
The Pinkertons, yes.
You were trying to think if this old brain of mine wouldn't function.
Well, I noticed you hesitated for a minute.
But there was a line in the movie that was used by Paul Newman frequently. When they looked over their shoulder or they got up on a hill or whatever, they kept looking down in the valley, and Paul Newman would say, Who are those guys?
Well, we're going to tell you who those guys are.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, in 2001, just a few years ago, Pinkerton and Burns International merged operations to become part of the Securities Services USA, and it actually brought together the two most renowned private investigative firms in the world. So let's go back and see where that all started. So Pinkerton history dates back to 1850 in Chicago when Alan Pinkerton, the original private eye, founded Pinkerton's National Detective Agency. Now, Pinkerton achieved national renown in 1861 when he uncovered and stopped an assassination plot on the life of Abraham Lincoln.
Really?
Yeah. Now, during the Civil War, Pinkerton organized America's first Secret Service. And, of course, his pursuits include Jesse James, the Younger Brothers, the Dalton Gangs, and, of course, our good friends, the Wild Bunch, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Uh-huh.
And that's where a lot of people can relate back there.
Okay.
But anyway, it isn't surprising that the man who was to become America's greatest detective and one of the world's most notable detectives was born to a family whose patriarch was a policeman. William Pinkerton, a police sergeant in Glasgow, Scotland, first heard his newborn son on August 25th, 1819. So that's when he was born.
Okay.
So at an early age, the boy Alan Pinkerton showed a thirst for adventure that didn't always sit well with his mom and dad. Bright and energetic, he often avoided his schoolwork to wander off for days hunting in the forest north of Glasgow or fishing in the Clyde River. And during a political riot which broke out in the city square, the elder Pinkerton was killed. So his dad died, leaving the family without a father. And so young Alan left school and went to work, first as a runner for a pattern maker, then as an apprentice in the Macaulay Cooperage Works. Cooperage, that's barrel makers. Okay. So he became one of their sharpest craftsmen, often making suggestions to improve both the quality and delivery of the barrels. Now, he was a pretty restless guy, as I mentioned. He joined a revolutionary group known as the Chartists, which demanded a voice in the government in England. However, you know, back then, if you dared to make changes in England, you were not a popular person.
Mm-hmm.
And
a lot of people lost their heads over it.
They did, yeah. And it was a dangerous one. But this Alan, he was a vocal, active participant, 22 years old, so that's where he was. But even having been promoted to supervisor at the works and now earning a pretty good salary for his wife, Pinkerton wed this his Edinburgh native, her name was Joan Carfay, in 1842. But their plans to spend a romantic honeymoon in the country inn were kind of smashed when a friend of the groom rushed in immediately after the wedding to warn of a company of soldiers marching that way to arrest Alan.
Uh-oh.
The next morning, the new Mr. and Mrs. Pinkerton were on board a sailing ship headed for America. So, they were really escaping, and who knows what would have happened had they caught him, being somewhat of a political misfit, whatever.
Yeah.
But anyway, for the most part, the voyage was pleasant. That is, until the ship encountered high gales and winds as it neared Halifax, Canada. The steersman was unable to keep their course against the turbulence and went off course nearly 200 miles.
Oh, just a mere pittance.
Yeah, and still caught in the whirlpool of the coastal storm, lost from direction and bounced atop the waves like a feather, the ship at last floundered, rammed on a reef beyond the beaches of Nova Scotia. Now, I've read a lot of stuff, and that place is cold.
It's
cold water. Yeah.
So what did they do? Did they have any lifeboats or anything?
Well, here's what happened. Pinkerton and his wife, as did most of the other passengers, lost everything they had,
really?
Went down with the ship.
Oh, my.
And all the newlyweds owned were their clothes on their backs and a few pieces of silver in Alan's vest pocket.
I see.
Now, there was one possession, however, that Joan cherished most of all, her wedding ring. But that, too, was quickly removed from her person when the survivors of the shipwreck finally made their way to shore. So they were close enough they could get to shore.
Well, why would she take off her wedding ring?
Well, she hasn't yet, I'll tell
okay.
you. So they're wet, they're tired, they're cold, they're black and blue from the pounding they took on the surf. And they collapsed on the beachhead only to be immediately surrounded by Indians,
mm-hmm.
who demanded their trinkets. One Indian spotted the gleaming silver band on Mrs. Pinkerton's finger and insisted that she hand it over. Now, even though outflanked, her husband wanted to fight.
I see.
So he's surrounded by Indians.
So what you're saying is Alan wasn't real smart.
No. Well, he wanted to fight for that ring.
I see.
But the captain convinced him that it was better to lose the ring than his life.
That's a good thought.
Anyway, it was aboard a rescue ship that retrieved the stranded passengers that Pinkerton resolved to settle in the United States. He'd originally thought he'd go to Quebec into Canada.
I see.
But passing down the St. Lawrence Seaway, which separated Canada from the U.S., he heard marvels of a town called Chicago that sat on the western edge of Lake Michigan and near the frontier. So spreading out by leaps and bounds, the settlement was quickly becoming a city that, in its sudden growth, needed all kinds of workers.
Uh-huh.
Now, Pinkerton believed that a barrel maker might do just fine in a city like that that was growing. It needed tools, clothing, food, medicine, and a lot of this stuff was transported by barrels.
Really?
Yeah. So this might be a good time for a break, Zeb,
yeah,
if you want to do that.
Let's roll out the barrel. Ladies and gentlemen, of course, Dr. History, brought to you by Minnecashia Sales at 1321 East Main Street in Burley, right across from the airport. And, Zach, tell us a little bit about, you know, you got a great location, and what are your hours over there?
We're in the store from 8 in the morning till 4:35, or just whenever the customers are done coming in.
Okay, and then also we want to stress the fact that you've got all the roofing material, you've got all the carpet, and people can come in there, they can tell you exactly what they need or how much, and you can figure it all up and give them a bid, right?
Yes, if we don't have what they need, if they give us a couple days, we can have it there for them.
Okay. Now, what about this little lady over here? She's got a business right out in front, and we'll tell everybody to stop in and see her too, right?
Yes, that's Abby with Brain Freeze. That's her little summit project that she's going to do.
Well, I tell you what, folks, stop over to Minnecashia Sales, 1321 East Main Street in Burley. And a lovely lady that has done so many times on our program, our Pledge of Allegiance, Abby runs that. It's not really shaved ice, and is it shaved ice and ice cream, right? Light a mix in between, and it's called Brain Freeze, right? All right, stop over and see Abby and Minnecashia Sales. Zach, thanks so much for being here this morning. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Zach.
You betcha. Carpet and windows and all the remodeling needs for your home. And also right out in front, Brain Freeze with Abby. And stop over and see them today. Minnecashia Sales, 1321 East Main Street in Burley. And now back to Alan Pinkerton, the barrel maker, soon to be detective.
All right, so the couple disembarked above Detroit, Michigan. There they bought a wagon and a horse, some cooking utensils, dried meat, and headed west and on their way to Chicago. Now, for shelter, they stayed in sometimes people's barns. They had no money for lodging. When their food was gone, they lived off the fat of the land. And you could do that back then. You know, you could shoot a deer or a rabbit or something.
Yeah.
But anyway, they reached Chicago. Pinkerton sold the horse and wagon for lodging in a hotel near the lakefront, and Chicago proved to be exactly what the rumors had claimed. Not exactly a pretty place, but he fell into some other Scotsmen, and Pinkerton learned that a place called Lil's Brewery in downtown area was hiring barrel makers. Mm-hmm. Pinkerton went to work and soon received his first American paycheck. So Lil's Brewery provided the Pinkertons with a stability that they hoped for, enough money to live decently and have a little left over for recreation. But, you know, the winters in Chicago are rough.
Oh.
And I've just heard stories.
I have been there.
Yeah. But life overall was pretty good. But, you know, Pinkerton, as I mentioned earlier, he was kind of a restless kind of guy.
Yeah.
To settle down just building barrels, well, he wanted his own shop. And he had heard that a small town called Dundee, 40 miles from Chicago, served a huge farming community, but it didn't have, and it's called cooperage. It lacked, which is the term for barrel maker.
I see.
Cooperage. So, envisioning the possibilities, he packed up the family, and they headed to Dundee and opened up a small shop. And little did he know that he was about to change careers, mm-hmm. which set the pace for the rest of his life.
Which is good, because we've only got 9 minutes left.
We're going to hurry. So, business prospered. From one workroom, it enlarged. He had 10 craftsmen working for him, 12 hours a day, 6 days a week. Again, demand for barrels was more than even he could anticipate, but he kept up, and he was an honest man who delivered what he said. So, he had integrity. So, anyway, he soon found himself the father of a boy, and then followed twins. So he had 3 children by now. Now, wanting to keep costs at a minimum, he saw no reason to buy poles to make barrels when they could be had for nothing. So one day, he left his shop in charge of his foreman. He rode out to an island in the middle of a river to cut down his supply of trees for his own wood. Now, it was commonly supposed in Dundee that the island was uninhabited.
Uh-huh.
But Pinkerton, a pretty observant guy, noticed the grass and bushes were bent back, kind of making a path from the shore. Now, of course, being curious, he followed it, and in the thick strand of trees, he found a campsite that appeared to be used quite regularly.
Uh-oh, bad guys.
All right. So when he returned, he told the sheriff of his discovery. Now, he knew that the lawmen in the country had been unable to pinpoint a band of roving counterfeiters who had been spreading bills throughout Illinois.
Oh, my.
And this is where the pot thickens.
Yeah.
The plot. Several men were suspected of the forgeries, but as the counterfeit money had not been found on them, an arrest was impossible. So Pinkerton decided that the island was a good place to hide the money. So obvious that it was overlooked. So the sheriff, nobody else even thought that it could be that close. So for nearly a week, Pinkerton and the sheriff paddled out to the island to crouch in the bushes, waiting to see what happened, and the wait was not too long. On the fifth evening, there was a parade of men who came out of the bushes digging. Some carried shovels, others full, bulging flour sacks.
Uh-oh.
Well, thrusting their shotguns out before them, Sheriff Yates and the deputized Pinkerton appeared. They arrested the stunned men, who were obviously totally surprised. Now, the town was so impressed with Pinkerton, with his coolness in the face of danger, that they asked him to help uncover the leader of this counterfeit ring. Now, they suspected a guy by the name of Crane. Okay, that's about all they had to go on. So the council wondered, could Pinkerton follow this man to see actually another suspect? Could he follow him and be led to this guy named Crane?
Mm-hmm.
So the council gave him $125, which was a lot of money at that time, yeah. Actually. He took on the assignment. He struck up a conversation in a saloon with a guy named John Craig, who was kind of one of the underlings of Crane.
I see.
And he said, you know, he talked to this guy. He says, you know, Crane's slipping up. He says, I'm going to take over this counterfeiting ring.
Oh.
So he
loose lips.
So he says, you know, I've got some investors that want to invest in this and counterfeit money. And anyway, this Craig guy said, okay, and they shook hands and they parted. And as things got a little better and a little time went on, they aligned with the Chicago authorities. Pinkerton set up this sting operation, and two plainclothesmen watched from the side as Pinkerton entered this dingy lit hotel bar, took a seat beside Craig, and as the deal was being cut, the police swung out to grab Craig by his shoulders. You're under arrest, one of them shouted. And Pinkerton, he was certain the counterfeit money would disappear in the Midwest, at least for a season, and he was correct. Mm. So just by this arrest and sting operation, that kind of pretty well finished off the counterfeiting.
Yeah.
So anyway, the county sheriff was so impressed with his quick thinking that he offered Pinkerton a full-time job on his staff as investigator, having felt good about what he'd done, enjoying the glow it gave him, and probably a little pride, you know, his name out there.
Sure. I mean, what more could you say about a barrel maker?
You're kind of famous.
Yeah.
So with his family, he relocated back to Chicago, no longer to produce barrels, but to defend the law of this new country that so far had treated the Pinkertons really well.
I'll be.
So before the year 1848 would end, he would accrue the highest number of arrests for burglaries and murders than any other of the more experienced officers in Chicago.
Ooh.
So he just really took to this.
Yeah.
So now we move ahead a little. 1850, Alan Pinkerton founded his detective agency based on his own principles. And as I mentioned, he was an honest guy, had integrity.
So he didn't really go to school to be a detective.
No, he didn't.
See.
So, but his values became the cornerstone of a respected agency that, as I mentioned, still exists today.
Yeah.
Now, his reputation preceded him during the Civil War. He headed the organization responsible for spying on the Confederacy.
Really?
So it was also a spying group, if you want to say. But anyway, at the war's end, he went back to running the Pinkerton Detective Agency until his death, July 1st, 1884. And at his death, the agency continued to operate and would soon become the major force against the young labor movements developing in the United States of America.
Really?
In fact, his effort against labor tarnished the image of the Pinkertons for years. And there was a time when, I believe it was either Carnegie or one of the more famous men that helped develop America, they hired the Pinkertons to come and break up these guys that wanted to have a union.
Really?
And there were people that were killed. And so there was kind of a bad mark on the Pinkertons there for a while.
Yeah.
But like I say, they were involved in a lot of activities against labor into the 19th and 20th centuries. And then I mentioned, I know we're about out of time, Harry Longbow and Robert Leroy Parker, which, you know, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, they held up the Winnemucca National Bank in Nevada and then headed for South America with their proceeds, all the while being pursued by, who were those guys? The Pinkertons.
The Pinkertons.
But,
goodness.
You know, before the Wild Bunch actually made their escape, they supposedly got shot. Do you remember the picture they had taken of themselves?
Yeah.
That famous picture.
Yeah.
Well,
that was not the smartest move.
No, because the Pinkertons used that to identify these guys.
Yeah.
But anyway, like I say, they made their way to Argentina, where they tried to live a peaceful life, but that didn't settle too good. They robbed a bank. Some men were killed and one thing another. And anyway, supposedly they were killed. And the fact that the Pinkertons didn't believe it was them, they continued their search for many years after this supposedly happened. So
absolutely.
That's the story pretty much of the Pinkertons and Alan Pinkerton, who continues to this day.
And by the way, when the question is asked, who are those guys? You know the answer.
The Pinkertons.
The Pinkertons.
They're out there.
Dr. History.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.